Welcome back. I'm Linda Wertheimer, and you're listening to NPR's special coverage of the third and final presidential candidate debate. The debate is over, and we are prepared now to slice and dice and see what we think happened. The first person I'd like to talk to is NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson, who, as always, has been at the debate. She joins us from Hofstra University, the site of tonight's presidential debate on Long Island in New York. Mara, what's your judgment about this debate?
Well, I thought it was a pretty great debate. And as you said, there really was a third character there who we've never seen this before. But Joe the Plumber played a very prominent role, and they really talked to him throughout. This was a device that John McCain brought to the debate, of course, to kind of personify the average American who he said was going to be hurt by Obama's economic plans. And then Obama picked up the trope and talked directly to Joe, too. So I thought that was pretty great. I thought the gloves did come off tonight. McCain did bring up Ayers. He did bring up Acorn. I thought that he made a lot of skillful attacks. They just didn't draw any blood. Obama was able to deflect every single one of them. But they both did get a chance to talk about the tone of this campaign, which had grown increasingly negative. Barack Obama saying that all of McCain's ads had been negative. I think that use of that tense made his statement inaccurate. In fact, it's only the recent ads that have been 100% negative. And McCain really got to share something that was a real heartfelt criticism of his, that he feels personally wounded by the remarks that Congressman John Lewis made recently, accusing him of being like George Wallace. And they had a pretty emotional, personal exchange on that. And I think it was heightened by the fact that they were also sitting right next to each other at a table.
That was an interesting thing. I think both of them seemed to be, my impression was both of them seemed to be a little bit uncomfortable with that arrangement. I mean, there seemed to be more tension between them than there has been on other occasions.
Yes, I never had thought about this before, but I think that that format of sitting so close together, which is a more intimate arrangement, made that tension more palpable. And I think it wasn't just an abstract debate where they were rehashing or recycling speech chunks from from the campaign trail. I think they really were talking to each other. My gut feeling is this debate isn't going to change the dynamic of the race, but it was a real debate, and a lot of ground got covered. They also were asked about each other's running mates, which I thought was interesting. Obama refused to say whether he thought Sarah Palin was qualified to be president. He said, well, that's up to the voters to decide. McCain had some comments about Joe Biden's being wrong in his view on foreign policy issues in the past.
Right.
But this was a real engagement, I thought.
Mara, do you feel like this is a debate that that can be scored? That you could say that one person won or lost? We've seen in the previous debates that Mr. Obama has been lifted up in the polls after the debates. What do you think about this one?
I think that the reason it's hard to score this debate like you would in a college debating meet. Obama scores well in these debates because he accomplishes his goal. His goal is to appear credible and to reassure the American people that they will be comfortable with him as president. He's someone they didn't know for very many years. He's new, he's young, he's inexperienced. But a lot of people have been drawing the analogy to Ronald Reagan in 1980, where the race was frozen. Of course, it's a little bit different this time. The two candidates back in 1980 didn't debate till the very, very end, and they only had one debate. But basically, every single debate, he has gone up in that very important poll indicator of
Obama.
Who do you think has the... Obama has gone up, yes, in who do you think has the experience, the strength to be president. So in that sense, he's winning these debates by the terms that he set out for himself. McCain had a much tougher job in all of these debates, and he hasn't achieved it, which is to raise so many doubts about Barack Obama that he can change the dynamic of the race, and he hasn't been able to do that. So with that criteria, you'd have to score this debate another win for Obama. I think both of them did very well.
Thanks very much. NPR's Mara Liasson. She is our national political correspondent, and she's hanging out tonight at Hofstra University, which is the site of the debate. We're going to go now to Farai Chidea, who is host of NPR's News and Notes. She joins us from NPR West. Farai,
I'm here.
Okay.
How you doing?
Great. What was your view? Did you think that this debate was in any way interesting? I must say that I felt at times that there was such a lot of tension between these two candidates that I it was bothering me.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting was facial expressions. I think a lot of times Senator Obama showed a certain tenseness in his facial expressions, and Senator McCain, on the other hand, seemed to have a bit of sort of a forced smile on his face. Neither of them, I thought it was interesting, directly answered that question about would you repeat to the other person's face the issues, that you've raised in advertisements, and negative advertisements became a big issue, but neither of them actually brought that up directly. I don't think they really were willing to do that.
What about the whole exchange about John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, who reacted angrily when he heard about a person in one of the Sarah Palin rallies who had shouted out some very difficult to hear statements about Obama.
It's very interesting that the legacy of the civil rights movement has ended up circling back in this form. It's really a question of how accountable. I think that what Senator McCain was raising and Senator Obama was in some ways forced to counter was how accountable are white Americans for threats on the first black viable, for lack of a better term, candidate for president, because that is something that increasingly has come up. When we interviewed on News and Notes Senator Obama a year ago, we asked him if he felt that perhaps one day his daughters would be fatherless because of the chance he was taking in running for president. And he said, I can't think that way, meaning he just simply could not have that in the forefront of his mind. And I think that John Lewis basically went all the way there, you know, as we say, he went all the way there and basically raised the specter that someone who was in, for example, Senator McCain's audience would be the kind of person who might make an attempt. And that is something that he pulled back from. And I think it's also interesting that Senator McCain chose that moment to defend his audience. It's really a question of what do you believe about the American people and what the American people, or at least some American people, are willing to do. In the end, I do feel that, Senator Obama and Senator McCain kind of had a draw on that one.
Ron Elving, who is NPR's senior Washington editor, is sitting here in the studios with me in Washington. Ron, I think we probably all agree that that was one of the most interesting moments of the debate. But the other very interesting moment of the debate was Joe the Plumber.
Joe the Plumber is the new figure in the American political landscape. Joe is, of course, Joe Wurzelbacher, who is a Toledo operator of his own plumbing business. He's not just a guy who comes and fixes people's plumbing. He's running a plumbing business. And tonight he was treated as a kind of a perfect representative or everyman of the middle class. I think he's probably a little more successful than the average person in the middle class.
Judging from what we all know, we have to pay plumbers when we need plumbers.
Well, that's possibly one aspect. But also, he seems to feel that under Barack Obama's tax plan, he's going to definitely be paying higher taxes. Now, if we take Obama at his word for the moment that to be paying higher taxes, he needs to be, that is, Joe needs to be making more than $250,000 a year. That puts him a little above the average American household income, quite a bit above, of course. So Joe is worried that he, as a successful small businessman, is going to be soaked by the Barack Obama tax plan in order to allow Barack Obama to, as John McCain said multiple times, spread the wealth, give that money to somebody else. And, of course, John McCain also called it class warfare. So these are terms I think we all understand. If we've been watching American politics over the last 30, 40 years, these are all terms we all understand between the two parties. Whether any time the government asks people to pay more taxes, they're really trying to get that money into the government and use it as a kind of political payoff to the people who voted for the Democrats to come into power in the first place. That is a very familiar pattern in American politics, and one that I think John McCain tapped into successfully tonight.
Maybe this would be a good time to check in with Chris Arnold, who is one of the people who are checking facts for us tonight. We've been fact-checking the candidates in real time throughout the debate, and you can see some of the posts that our fact-checkers have made. on our blog at npr.org/voxpolitics. But we have a special privilege, so we can just call on Chris Arnold live and in person. Chris, Joe the Plumber, a major player. Tell us about that Joe the Plumber and where he fits in terms of his taxes.
Well, like we were just talking about there, Joe the Plumber maybe isn't the best example. If he's supposed to be Representative Joe America, if he's a plumber who makes more than $250,000,
Joe Sixpack, as Mrs. Palin would have it,
it'd be a very nice six pack that he's drinking, I guess. Because if you're making more than $250,000 a year and you're a business owner like anybody else, yes, you would pay more taxes under Obama. The implication seemed to be that Joe America was going to pay more taxes, and middle income Americans, if you slice the income of Americans up into five pieces and you look at that middle fifth, they would actually get three times the tax break under Obama's plan. So, it's kind of the opposite of what the suggestion was there.
So the notion, as far as your fact checking tells us, that Joe the Plumber, Mr. McCain may be right that Joe the Plumber pays more, but
Joe America, he has
more, and other people would not necessarily fit in that category.
Right. It gets complicated. You hear all these different plans. But, basically the idea is, under Obama's plan, the bottom 80% of Americans by income would do better, basically, when it comes to income taxes. And the top 20% would probably do better under McCain. And that's kind of a simple way to think about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
That was Chris Arnold. He joined us now from studios in Boston. Matt Continetti is a staff writer at the Weekly Standard, and he's been here for all the debates. Matt, give me, first of all, your quick review. How do you think these two did?
Well, I thought it was an interesting debate. I thought neither candidate really wanted to be there. I thought Obama seemed distracted. He seemed tense. He reminded me a lot of when he was like earlier during the Democratic primaries in those later debates, when he'd gone through all these debates. He said the same things over and over again. And really, he was looking to the point. At that point, he wanted to wrap up the nomination. At this point, I think he's really just more concerned about what he's going to do if and when he's president. At the same time, there, McCain was there, and he was throwing everything. It wasn't just the kitchen sink. It was the refrigerator. It was the dishwasher. It was all the detergent. There were times there where McCain just looked like he was about to explode, And so when I was watching this debate, I'm wondering half the time, why isn't Joe the Plumber there debating Barack Obama? Because clearly his points seem to have not only resonated with McCain, but also with Obama, because Obama felt the need. So I come away from this debate really thinking that we may be looking at the Sarah Palin, Joe the Plumber ticket in 2012, and it would really show a lot about how class politics in America works, not based on income, because, of course, both Governor Palin and Joe the Plumber are in the upper, what we consider upper income, but definitely based on culture. Where on the income scale do you identify? And so that may be the debate in 2012.
The culture wars.
Absolutely.
Redeclared, or maybe even redefined. Let me check in with E.J. Dionne, who is also with us here in the studio. He's a columnist for The Washington Post, and he is a resident scholar at the Brookings Institution as well. E.J., what do you think? How did these guys do?
I can't wait for the Palin Plumber race in the next election. I think McCain faced a very difficult challenge here. He's in a kind of strategic gridlock because he's coming down in the polls. Obama keeps gaining ground. And yet one of the reasons McCain is coming down in the polls is because voters, according to this new New York Times CBS poll, don't like his attack campaign. Yet to bring Obama down, he needs to attack him. So that he got those attacks out last night. Good Lord, he said that ACORN, this organization that organizes poor people, a few fraudulent voter registrations might destroy the fabric of American democracy. Now, I thought the fabric of our democracy was stronger than that, but it gave a sense of how much he wanted to go after Obama. He went after him on Bill Ayers, the 60s radical. I think he scored a lot of points with the people who are already for him, who cheered very loudly when he said those things. I really am not sure at all that he reached the middle class, ideologically moderate voters who have been drifting Obama's way. It was the most interesting debate, partly because of the tension you described, and partly because they really were having real exchanges with each other on lots of issues, including health care.
I thought that, I must say, I agree with you that there were, that it was less fragments of the speech debate, as Mara pointed out, and of their stump speeches, and more, it seemed like more real exchanges than we'd seen before. But there was also a lot of element of bickering to it, and tit-for-tat exchanges, something that the American people have indicated that they're not crazy about.
They're not crazy about it, but on the other hand, they tune in for it. And Bob Schieffer, I thought, did a good job tonight. I thought in many respects he was the most effective moderator we've had in the four debates, partly because he started right out at the beginning of the night saying, we've heard all the talking points, guys. Let's really try to get down to it. He had a sort of folksy and immediate charm, and yet he was direct with the candidates and held them to each other's fire. And I thought that that worked pretty well. Plus, we also mentioned earlier, the table setting tonight was a little bit more tension-inducing, I think. And as EJ said, this was the time when really John McCain had to bring it. He couldn't wait for the next debate. He couldn't wait for the final phase of the campaign. He had to bring it tonight. I think Barack Obama seemed a little bit put upon by that. And so, yeah, a lot of it looked a little petty. It looked a little bickering. We heard about getting down to, you know, who had what kind of T-shirts and so on. And, you know, this cannot be the highest plane on which to determine who our next leader is going to be in these parlous times. And yet, I think we all would agree this was the most watchable and, to some degree, riveting of the debates we've had so far.
There was no question that that in this part of the first 45 minutes were very contentious. And then they sort of backed down a bit and started talking about, you know, the ideas that they're putting forth. They were still arguing. They were still contending.
I thought it was fascinating that when Bob Schieffer asked, you know, you've been saying bad things about each other, do you want to say them here? I thought that was very clever because he didn't raise any of the negatives himself. But McCain really waited a long time, several exchanges, before he would mention Bill Ayer's name. In fact, the first thing he said, he went after Obama for running a more negative campaign than he had, which Obama pointed out is not what the polls show that voters think. But that reticence and then just a full pounce. And I thought he was trying to rattle Obama. One of Obama's strengths so far has been this incredible, cool calm. And while I agree with Ron that there were moments where Obama didn't seem to like it, I don't think he came off rattled at all. I think he managed to maintain that cool that has helped him in all three debates.
I think McCain did some things tonight that, in retrospect, people are going to be thinking, why wasn't he doing that months ago? Not only the Bill Ayers thing, which it doesn't seem to be working at this point of the campaign, but perhaps when in the summer when impressions of Obama were more fungible. If the McCain campaign then had brought up some of these associations, they would have been able to define Obama better. Another thing McCain did tonight that I think, in retrospect, looking backward on this campaign, he should have done a lot earlier, is break from Bush. He had a very interesting line. He said, Barack Obama, if you wanted to run against Bush, you should have run 4 years ago. And then he really addressed some of the differences, the long list of differences, he said, not only with Bush, but also with the Republican Party. If he had given those types of speeches in the spring, if he had laid out real policy disagreements or differences with the Bush administration, not only in the past, but going forward, I think that would have been able to kind of make this break with Bush, who, of course, is at just a historical nadir of popularity.
Farai Chidea.
I think there were some, you know, to follow up on what you were saying, Matt, there were some interesting policy moments that may not have been as sexy as the bickering, but if you are a voter who really wants to know what people stand for, the debate over vouchers was very interesting because, you know, as many Democrats, not all, but many Democrats do, Senator Obama was arguing against vouchers and for charter schools. Senator McCain was for both vouchers and charter schools. And one thing that you've seen is a general support for vouchers that is now a little bit shakier based on the fact that there is not as much evidence that they are doing as much good for underprivileged kids as people hoped they were. There was an April article in the Washington Monthly about how the statistics aren't matching up, but there has been a huge amount. African Americans were the largest supporters of vouchers at one point. And so I think that if you're interested in education, that was an actual debate point. There were actual debate points over abortion for the life and health of the mother. And there was a moment where Senator McCain said that that's the extreme pro-abortion position, health. If you are a female pro-choice but don't really like Obama voter, perhaps that's the moment where you say, you know what, maybe my policy position trumps my unease with this candidate when perhaps I was a Hillary supporter. So there were some policy moments in here that can be deconstructed so that people actually pull something out about it in terms of what these candidates stand for.
Okay, let's just take a very quick run over to Julie Robner, who's NPR's health policy correspondent. She's here with us in the studio. Healthcare was a major topic in tonight's debate, as Farai Today has just pointed out. Barack Obama said his plan would save the average family $2,500 in premiums when he puts all of his cost savings into effect. Sounds like a lot of money. Does it sound realistic to you?
It does, pretty much only to the people who put together Obama's plan. This is one of his favorite talking points out on the trail, and just about everybody who's looked at it says that that's a very rose-colored, optimistic view of how much he could save. He's basically got the same cost-cutting techniques that Senator McCain has. It's one of the places where they actually agree, and everybody says they're all good things to do. Whether he can really save $2,500 a family is really a very big question.
What about what John McCain said, that Obama is running an unfair ad saying that Senator McCain opposes stem cell research? Senator McCain says he does not oppose stem cell research.
This is a much bigger question. Senator McCain, so one place where he actually has broken with his anti-abortion views and voted for bills to lift President Bush's limits on embryonic stem cell research, and that's the key here. And he has indeed supported it in the past, but in several debates, not with Senator McCain, but with Senator McCain's aides, they have rather not said what he would do in the future. So Senator McCain does say, I support stem cell research, but he has really not said affirmatively that if he was president, he would go ahead and sign that bill that he voted for twice as a senator.
Thanks very much. NPR's Julie Robner, she's our health policy correspondent. When we look at the big question here, of course, if you look at the question in terms of the competition, as what needed to happen for the competition to change in some way is for John McCain to turn the corner, to make a big gain. Ron Elving.
I would say that expectations determine how people judge these debates, and I think that expectations were particularly high for Barack Obama tonight because he is doing so well in these polls, as we've all noted. So did he really meet those expectations tonight, or was he a bit beleaguered in comparison to the earlier debates or in comparison to how people might like to think of their president behaving? So I think tonight John McCain, while he had the tougher job because he is behind, he perhaps had the easier expectations to exceed and perhaps did so and perhaps helped himself more than he's helped himself in the previous two debates.
Matt Continetti.
You know, some years the debates matter a lot. Some years they don't matter. I'm not sure how big they're going to matter now. Obama did well in all three of these debates. People are comfortable with him, but we still have about 3 weeks to go before Election Day, and a lot can happen outside the dynamics of this campaign to affect the race.
EJ?
I think the key is that I find it hard to believe this debate fundamentally changed the race. And that John McCain, Obama has spoken relentlessly to swing voters. You can tell that's who he's talking to. McCain often seems to be speaking to debate judges, maybe to us, maybe to the media, trying to score debating points or to his own base. So I'd be surprised if those snap polls don't once again show Obama winning, maybe not by the enormous margins he won the other two, but I have a hunch because of whom Obama is addressing, he will win this again in those polls.
Win with the particular group of voters that may make the difference in the election?
Right. And that what you've seen in the polling is that the people who have moved Obama's way are precisely those middle ground voters, moderates, independents. White men have moved more than anybody, partly because he had so much ground to make up, Obama did, among white men.
Thanks very much to all of you for this discussion. I'm Linda Wertheimer. You've been listening to a special rebroadcast of the final presidential debate between Senators John McCain and Barack Obama. Next up, Election Day. Tune to your local NPR station on November 4th and find out who wins and loses in the 2008 general election. This is NPR News.